Please join me as I read from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 39 down to verse 45. Let's hear God's word. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted or greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible Word, and may God Himself add His divine blessing to it. 10 days ago, pro-life people had the 25th anniversary of the Right to Life March in Ottawa. Supporters of this movement want to protect preborn children and end the practice of abortion. They usually hold placards that read, Abortion kills children, abortion hurts women, Jesus forgives and heals, adoption, the loving option, and Lord, forgive us and our nation. A counter rally for choice was also held. Protesters attending this pro-choice rally usually hold signs that say, keep your laws off my body, my choice. I am the boss of my body. Now, since our congregation supports the March for Life movement, in fact, I know we have members who are very much actively involved in this ministry, like Vanessa Aten. And just a few days ago, I was chatting with Hadassah Deakin, and she told me that she herself, along with other high schoolers, went to Ottawa to show support for the March for Life, to show that unborn babies are sacred and therefore need to be protected. And so in light of that, as a pastor of this congregation, I take this issue seriously as well. And so I would like to offer a message dealing with this issue. And so my theme in this message is about abortion. And with God's help, what I will do is argue that pre-born or unborn babies are human beings, and therefore the practice of abortion is sinful. And by the word abortion, I mean the deliberate destruction of a child in the womb. Now, one of the arguments for abortion is that the embryo or the fetus is not yet a human life, and therefore it may be terminated. Some pro-choice would even say, well, that fetus is just a bunch of tissues woven together. Now, we pro-life, however, say with with a strong conviction that the fetus is a human being. And I'm going to give you 6 reasons why pre-born children are human beings. Those 6 reasons will come directly from our passage. So first of all, the unborn child is called a baby, not a tissue. Look at verse 41 of our text. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, or the baby of Elizabeth, leaped in her womb. Now, here's the context. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary visited her. Now, how do we know that? Well, an angel of the Lord says to Mary in verse 36, look at verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her." And so Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary came to visit her. And Luke calls that 6-month-old fetus a baby. Not a bunch of tissues woven together, but a baby. 6 months old. A baby. In the original, the word baby, brephos, can be translated either as unborn child or newborn child, depending on the context. Now, obviously, here in our passage, it is to be translated as unborn child. Here's my point. God regards a fetus, a 6-month-old unborn baby, a fetus, God regards that unborn baby a child. A child. Not a bunch of tissues. Even if we know that that fetus is not yet fully developed. Now also, since God regards it, or I really don't want to use the word it, because it's a baby. It's either he or she. Him or her. And we know that it is a he, because that's John the Baptist. God regards the unborn baby, John the Baptist, as a human being. Not as an internal organ connected to the body of the woman, as some pro-choice mothers would claim. You often hear them say, pro-choice people would use this argument. Well, that baby, that's only organ, not a baby. An organ connected to my body. And I have all the right to do whatever I want to my organ. Because that belongs to my body. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not an organ. It's a baby. A human being. And since God considers a fetus a baby, a human being, we must also consider the pre-born children as human beings. Second reason why pre-born children are human beings. So first, the unborn child is called a baby, not a tissue. Second, the unborn baby has life. Has life. Look at verse 41. The babe, that is the baby of Elizabeth, leaped in her womb. The baby moves. The baby leaps. The baby has life. Perhaps that sudden move is his body language showing his response to the greetings or salutation of Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. Imagine, only 6 months old, already John the Baptist got excited when he heard the salutation of Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus Christ. Someone has said, even in the womb, John the Baptist begins his ministry. The baby, the unborn baby, has life. The baby moves. And you know that. If you are pregnant this afternoon, as the baby grows, you start feeling the movement. There is life. There is life. It's not an organ attached to your body. It's not a bunch of tissues moving together. It's a human being. It has emotions. In fact, John the Baptist leaped for joy. Look at verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Imagine that. John the Baptist leaped for joy. Was so happy to hear the voice of the mother of Jesus. By extension, John the Baptist was so happy to learn about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the yet unborn John the Baptist is happy to hear the greeting of Mary. He is happy to sense the presence of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And therefore we can say, pre-born children can feel, indeed they can feel the pain of abortion. They are hurt because they have life. You talk to an abortionist, they will honestly tell you that when an abortionist aborts, murders an unborn baby, that unborn baby feels that pain. It has life. It has emotions. And that's why many mothers feel guilty after aborting their unborn children. Why? Because deep within them, they know that they have killed a human being. If that fetus has no life, why would you feel guilty? Of course, not all of them have that sense of guilt. Their hearts are simply so callous about the sin of abortion. And yet some women who have had an abortion, they have that sense of guilt that somehow they have committed murder. Third reason why preborn children are human beings. The unborn baby is a person. Look at verse 13. Luke chapter 1 verse 13. The unborn baby is a person. But the angel said unto him, that is unto Zechariah, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. You see, this fetus, this 6 months old unborn baby has a gender. Has a gender. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Not a bunch of tissues, not an organ, but a son. And thou shalt call his name John. So the fetus has a personal name, John. The unborn baby is a person. And that's why even, like in our case, maybe same in your case as well, before our children were born, we have five children. My wife and I, we had already decided as to what we would call each of them. We had names for them already before they were born. They are human beings. Persons. Not a thing that you can just abort and get rid of. They have human DNA. The pre-born child is a person, not a thing, not a bunch of tissues woven together. Fourth reason. The unborn baby has a mother. Has a mother. Verses 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice as at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. The unborn baby has a mother. Now, may I ask you this question? When did you become a mother? When? The moment your baby is conceived, or when your baby is born? If you are pregnant right now with your first baby, you are already a mother. You don't become a mother once the baby is born. Right now, you are a mother. That unborn baby in your womb has a mother. And therefore, that fetus is a person with a mother. And that's why would you abort your unborn child? You are the mother. Do you get it? What it means to be a mother? A mother is supposed to care for her children. Not kill them, but take care of them. Why would you murder your own children? Isaiah 49 verse 15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now, even the Bible acknowledges that somehow a mother has that motherly care for her child. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have love, compassion on the son of her womb? I can't even begin to imagine abandoning our children. And yet, that same verse continues to say, surely they may forget. That's heartbreaking. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Now maybe your parents, your biological parents, have forgotten you, have abandoned you. And I'm so sorry to hear about that. But I have good news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ will never, ever forget you. He will never abandon you. Once you believe in Him, once you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He will become everything to you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. Yes, our mothers, our fathers, they may abandon us, forget us, but not Jesus. And that's why we read in Psalm 27 verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Take those words. Now, I was only 2 years old when my father abandoned me. I grew up in a broken family. I was raised by a single mom. It was not easy. I was very young when I had to learn to work. It didn't help, of course, when those things happened. We were not Christians. My mom was a nominal Roman Catholic, and so was I. But the Lord showed us His mercy. I'm standing here before you as a token of God's mercy and grace. The Lord took care of me. I was the first one to become a Christian in the family. And eventually, by God's grace, my mom became a Christian. 30 years later, my father and I found each other. He was from Iran, came from a Muslim family. But when he saw the wickedness of Islamic religion in the 70s, he was turned off by Islam and decided to become an atheist. And up until this day, he is an atheist. He now lives in Australia. Broken family, abandoned. And yet I have this promise: when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Fifth reason why preborn children are human beings: the unborn baby has spiritual significance. Look at verse 15, please. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. And he, referring to John the Baptist, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And the child grew and waxed strong, or grew in spirit. Now, parents, listen to this, please. Let us not forget that even our unborn children have souls. They have spirits. They have spiritual significance. You see that in the life of John the Baptist. Just a fetus, and yet was already filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And let us not also underestimate the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can regenerate your unborn child in your womb. That's why we need to pray. I hope you pray. If you are pregnant right now, pray already for your unborn child. Lord, please convert, regenerate my unborn child. I pray that this child may be born to be born again. You see, the unborn baby has spiritual significance. Why would you abort that unborn baby, therefore? John the Baptist was filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. Now you tell me, that fetus is just a bunch of tissues woven together? That fetus is just an extension of your body. It's just an organ attached to your body. No, you're wrong. It's a human being. It's a separate being, distinct from who you are. And that human being has a spiritual significance before God. And number six, sixth reason why unborn babies are human beings. They have a purpose in life. Look at verse 67, please. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, and I want you to read verse 76 now. Please jump to verse 76. So this is the prophecy of Zacharias. And thou, referring to John the Baptist, thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. In other words, this unborn baby, this fetus, already has a purpose in life. He is going to prepare the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a purpose in life. Again, if you are pregnant this afternoon, remember this, that baby in your womb has a purpose in life. And therefore we can say this, no child is conceived without a purpose. It was not an accident that your child was conceived, even if you were not yet planning to have another baby. God planned your child's conception. It was not an accident. Now, those of you who had a miscarriage might ask, what was God's purpose in the life of our child who died in the womb? Now again, if you've had a miscarriage, I'm very, very sorry to hear about that. I don't know the answer. Why? But what I know is that according to Psalm 135 verse 6, the Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth for His own good pleasure. Yes, there are many, many things that God does to us that we don't know why He's allowing those things to us. We have many questions. Like, why? Why, Lord? Why did you take my child? Why did my unborn baby die in my womb? Why? Why did we have a miscarriage? Why? We cannot always find an answer to that question, but we know that whatever God does brings glory to His name. And that no child is conceived without a purpose. Now, my wife and I, we had a miscarriage in October of 2011. And a few months later, Anna, our first daughter, was conceived. If we had not had a miscarriage, Anna would not have been born. In November of 2013, we had another miscarriage. A few weeks later, James, our second child, was conceived. And my wife and I were saying, two unborn babies died so that Anna and James might live. In fact, I said to my wife, look at that, now we have seven kids in a short period of time. We have two kids. We gave them names, actually, Peace and Gabriel. But the Lord, in His own infinite wisdom, took them. And yet, by the grace of God, we can say with Job, the Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. the Lord is the great giver of life, but He is also the great taker of it. And whatever He does it for His glory and for our spiritual good. Two unborn babies died so that two babies might be born, Anna and James. And I'm thinking of what happened in the gospel when Jesus died. Jesus had to die so that you and I might live forever and ever and ever. If you cannot understand why God is doing this to you, or why did God allow this to you, just look at the cross. Just meditate on the gospel, because there are many things about the gospel that are so mysterious, so amazing, that once you grasp the gospel, of course we cannot fully grasp, fathom the gospel. We can only scratch its surface. Nevertheless, once you understand what Jesus did for you on the cross, you begin to have a different perspective in life. You begin to worship Him. You begin to bow down before Him and say, Lord, thank You so much for all that You have done for me in the gospel. And maybe it has pleased the Lord to give you a special child, a Down syndrome baby. But remember this, even that baby has a purpose in life, conceived and born for God's glory. A few years ago, a woman on Twitter wrote, "I honestly don't know what I would do if I were pregnant with a kid with Down syndrome. Real ethical dilemma." To which Richard Dawkins, this famous atheist, replied, "Abort it and try again." So according to Dawkins, he said, "It would be immoral to bring it into the world if you have the choice. I personally would go further and say that if your morality is based, as mine is, on a desire to increase the sum of happiness and reduce suffering, the decision to deliberately give birth to a Down baby when you have the choice to abort it early in the pregnancy might actually be immoral from the point of view of the child's own welfare." Well, a parent of two Down syndrome children wrote an open letter to Richard Dawkins. "Dr. Dawkins, I would like to invite you to dinner. Come spend time with my children. Share a meal with them. I don't want you to come over for a debate. I don't want to condemn you. I want you to experience the joy of children with Down syndrome. I want your heart to be moved to joy as well." Someone wrote this article, and the title of the article is this: "Joy and Satisfaction Found Raising a Baby with Down Syndrome." Research shows that parents raising a child with Down syndrome experience joy and satisfaction. Nearly 4 in 5 parents of children with Down syndrome report a more positive outlook on life as a result, according to a study from the American Journal of Medical Genetics. And 94% of siblings said they are proud of their brothers and sisters with Down syndrome. Why would you abort a Down syndrome baby? They bring joy. God created them in His image and likeness. And that's why, regardless, and please, children, listen to this. Don't ever make fun of those children. Don't! Don't! If you meet someone with a disability or with a special need, don't ever, ever make fun of them, because God created them in His image. They are as valuable as you are before God. We need to treat life with dignity. And that's why abortion is so sinful, because it desecrates the sanctity of life. If we really believe that we are created in God's image, we need to treat each other with dignity, with value. Regardless of your status in life, regardless of the color of your skin, it might be white or black or brown or yellow or red, it doesn't matter. In God's sight, we are all created in His image. We bear His image. We are important in His sight. Psalm 139 verses 14 and 15 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works." If you think that you are ugly, remember that God created you in His image. I know teenagers, they begin to struggle with that. That self-esteem. Oh, I don't look as beautiful as she is. Or I don't look as handsome as he is. Don't compare yourself to others. God created you specially. And He has a special purpose in your life. You are not like Johnny. You are not like Andrea or whatever. You are unique. You are unique. You are specially created, fearfully, wonderfully made. And it was God Himself who formed you in your mother's womb. God knitted you together. That's why really abortion is something like this. Imagine this. You are knitting or weaving a basket. And without permission, someone comes to you and takes that basket and with a knife destroys your work, destroys your basket. May I ask you, what would you feel if someone destroys that basket that you knitted together? Of course, you would be deeply hurt. I am your pastor. You do that to me, I would be upset with you. Now let's translate that to our God. Here's a mother, pregnant. Maybe she is not planning to be pregnant. Nevertheless, it was God Himself who formed that child in her womb. It was God Himself who knitted that child together in her womb. When that mother aborts that child, she is destroying the work of God. She is destroying that wonderful, wonderful masterpiece work of our sovereign Lord. You are insulting God. You are not just hurting that baby, but you are hurting that Creator who made that baby. That's why abortion is so sinful. You see, only God has the right to take the life of our children. And we need to give our best to protect the unborn babies. We need to give our best to promote be a sanctity of life as a congregation. Let me end with this story, true story. A young woman got pregnant, and the man who was responsible suggested to abort the child because he was still a student, still young, and could not afford having a child while studying. Thankfully, the woman refused to abort the child. The woman is now a believer in Christ, while the man remains an unbeliever. The two don't live together, and the child is now a minister of the gospel. And that child is right now standing before you, preaching the gospel. I understand if you are a single mom, it's not easy to raise children by yourself. And that's why we are here, a church family. Don't hesitate to come to us. We are here to help you. We'll help you. We'll give our best to help you raise your children in the fear of the Lord. We are part of the bigger family, the family of God. And if in the past you have committed the sin of abortion, I want you to know that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abortion is not a kind of sin that God cannot forgive. God can forgive you. God can heal you. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will not only forgive you, He will also cleanse you from all your sin. He will give you the robe of righteousness. And with this robe of righteousness, you can come to God, still rejoicing, serving Him with a new life in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word, that even Your Word speaks about abortion. It promotes the sanctity of life, for You created us in Your image. You formed us in our mother's womb. You Yourself knitted us together. Oh Lord, thank You for creating us. And not only creating us, but recreating us in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, please help us. Help us to promote the sacredness and sanctity of life. Oh Lord, have mercy on us as a nation. For we have so deeply offended You, legalizing abortion, supporting abortion, paying for it, as if this is the solution to our problem. Abort your child. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us as a nation, Lord. And we thank You for those people who are willing to fight for life, willing to promote the sanctity of life. Lord, bless all those organizations fighting for the cause of Your Word. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.